This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Spoil your loved ones this Father's Day at Chemist Warehouse with big brand fragrances at the lowest prices. Shop in store or online today.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I got the ass from KFC because I talk too much.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I lost my job at KFC for eating too much.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Midweek. Here we are. And a big show coming up. Of course, yes. Update quiz shortly. Jay-Z Clark. What is going on at Essendon?
Oh, plenty.
Imploded plenty. That place.
Yep.
And then Peter Dixon, second half, has released an amazing book about his brother Rob, but is a star in his own right, so I'm looking forward to that. Also going to take a look at Bill getting a basketball lesson today a little later on, just a sneak peek, because my understanding is it was horrific. And God knows what I heard, no good at all. And a special guest interview the show today, Joseph.
Yeah.
And I had a quiet chat to him before.
And?
Joseph said, I've been a fan of the show for many years.
Yes.
I can't believe how badly Bill behaves on air.
Already.
So I've come in live to see if it's as bad in person as it sounds through the speakers.
I'll sum Joseph up in one word, Jim.
Oh, what was that sentence?
I'll sum Joseph up in one word.
That's better.
Barracks for Collingwood.
That's three words.
Well, you can have a chat to Rabs later. They can have a Collingwood off.
Hey, basketball is not my sport.
No, I know that.
I'm a cricket footy man.
No, you're not a cricket man either.
I am. Very
and you're
good
barely a footy man.
And a great footballer. So basketball.
So one sport. You're like Duck. You can only play one sport.
How cold was today?
Oh, freezing.
Freezing cold,
yeah,
shitty day.
It was a horrible day.
And you know what today month is, Jim?
Oh, this is.
Today month.
Well, that's not a sentence.
It is.
You can't say today month.
24th of August today, 24th of September, grand final day.
Is that what that today month bit meant?
That's right. Hence
a month from today.
Well, I like to shorten things.
Do you really? Yeah.
It's only a month away.
Thank
is
you,
that
Bill.
Right? You're bringing the fact. I can't believe that. Hello, rabbits.
I'm just going to assess situation here at Old Trafford.
Oh no.
35 for three. We're going to take a break. Back with hopefully some highlights after this.
I'm getting. Drowned.
Tomo.
Jeffrey
come
Robert.
On, two up. I'm getting beeping drowned. He reckons?
Well, it was raining. Didn't you have an umbrella or something?
I did, but sliding off and landing on his back, and he said, I'm getting drowned.
Oh, we need to go to the wrap.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
Plenty going on at Essendon again today,
God.
Jimmy boy. Essendon CEO Xavier Campbell has announced to staff and players this morning that he is leaving the club after 14 years, Jim.
Yep.
9 as the CEO of Essendon, of course. So that is a big, big move. And only, 4 days ago on Sunday, we heard this from the new president of Essendon, David Barham.
Xavier has our full support.
So Xavier Campbell will see out his contract. You've got the full support of the board.
Xavier loves the club as much as I do. Xavier, we're all trying to do the same thing. Xavier loves it as much as anyone I've seen. So we've got a lot of work to do in the next few weeks and months to get this club resorted.
Full support, always a worry, Jim.
Well, exactly. As soon as you hear that said by a president, then you know you've almost got no support.
Yes, exactly. So Paul Brasher, he was rolled by Barham, has also quit the board, along with Simon Madden.
Yes, I saw that.
And football director Sean Wellman has announced he will leave the club.
Peter Allen also leaving.
Peter
so four
Allen.
Directors,
wow.
CEO. Yeah, question marks around Adrian Dodoro and whether he's going to remain. So, Bill, it is carnage.
It is imploding. You used the word there. Well, Damien Barrett, our man, was on the midweek rub today and he said more heads will roll at Bomberland.
I cannot see how Paul Brasher, who was rolled by David Barham as president who and decided to stay on the board, in my eyes, he cannot stay on, and I think that'll be announced pretty soon as well. And then you've got other roles in the footy club, inclusive of the list – and recruiting manager Adrian Dodoro, who's been there for 20 years and has regularly been in the spotlight for negative reasons, and also Josh Marnie as footy operations boss. So a lot of change is happening.
Where do you hear that? Listener.
On the Listener app, yes. Well done, Bill.
LISTNR.
Midweek Rub.
Exactly.
Which is also on after we finish.
On Triple M Melbourne. Exactly. Yep, you can grab it on the app now.
Well, though. Bill, it is an extraordinary time. I mean, there's blood all over the floor.
Oh, unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen this, mate.
Not to that level.
They've cut three players, Jim. Tom Cutler and also James Heard's son, Tom. Is one of them.
Right.
He's gone. So anyway, very interesting. So they need new board members. They need a new CEO.
Wow. Well, if the head of footy recruiting goes, I mean, it's just. And all of this, Bill, when you are coming into the busiest time of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
Like the next 2.5 months are when your footy club actually rolls up its sleeves and genuinely goes to work. Because when it's the week and what, well, you know this, when it's the week to week of footy, a lot of that looks after
along.
Itself.
Yes,
obviously the footy department and the players and the coaches work really hard. But when you finish the season, that's when everyone has to be on point.
And
so if you haven't even got half of those positions filled, how's that going to go?
They've got an early pick too, obviously. So interesting times at Bomberland. Cam Rayner will miss Brisbane's elimination final against Richmond. That dangerous tackle upheld, Jim. They're going to miss him.
Yes, they are.
They need him. And also Noah Ainsworth. He's going to miss it also. So that's disappointing for those.
There's an I in. He's an Ainsworth.
He is an Ainsworth. You're spot on, Jim, as usual. Yeah. NRL.
Yes.
Rugby League. Cam Munster was obviously a great player with the Storm, going beautifully. He's contracted to the...
You sure?
Yes, 2023. But fielding other offers, Jim,
what?
From rivals.
They
yes.
can't lose anymore.
I know.
Like already got hectic out the door.
Well, the Dolphins, they've got the open checkbook.
Piss off, Dolphins.
Oh, exactly.
Seriously, just because we got the best list in the comp,
yes.
don't raid every one of our besties.
No, exactly right. No, so,
but what's our man, old Bellyache?
Yeah.
He should wander up through the front doors of the Dolphins and just go, how about you, bugger off.
Exactly.
Leave my boys alone.
Go out to SeaWorld. Cam Munster's manager had this to say, Jim, so might be okay. Have a listen.
It was low. But they are. They are. After today, they're in the ballpark. Melbourne have definitely, you know, put in an impressive offer forward. It's going to come down to Cameron. You know, Cameron's got a really, really tough decision to make, and there's still a lot to play out in all of this. But today was very productive. It was great. Justin and Matty Tripp were outstanding, and you know, Matty's doing everything he can to keep him there, and Cameron loves the place. So it's going to be the hardest decision of his life.
Who's that speaking?
That's Braith.
Braith and Astor.
Yeah, that's him.
The former superstar.
Yes.
Well, is he a player manager now?
And also host of NRL 360.
No, I know. He's on,
which
on
is
the,
interesting.
Yeah, and a very good golfer too, Braith and
Astor. Is he?
Yep.
Matty Tripp would be doing everything.
Oh, of course.
Come on, Trippy. Get him over the line.
Make it happen, Trippy.
And that's all I've really... Oh, we'll wrap it up now, Rabs. Okay, between 7 minutes, he says, Jim, through the line.
Time to go, then.
Time to go. We'll have a little bit of music.
Not far away.
Oh, no.
Jay-Z Clark.
We're not putting our best foot forward for poor old Joseph. The Hump Day Quiz.
Not far away.
And we might get Joseph on when he's Technicolor raincoat.
Almost got it.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You shouldn't take the mickey out of people that can't talk properly. The dyslexia.
Triple M. Hump Day quiz time.
But, Jim, what about the prize?
Well, we're going to get to that in a moment, but just so that people understand what they're getting into, have a listen.
Which 70s band, known for their makeup and long tongue?
Timmy. Hang on. Oh, now, well, no. Do you want to go, Timmy? Because there's a few. Kiss.
No, well, how else would you say it, Joshy?
How else would I say, keep it stupid?
Yes.
That was Chris.
Yeah, I know. You were trying to be a smart ass.
I was.
Yeah. And when it backfires on you, I love it.
Yeah, Chris.
So, Bill.
Yes.
The prize today, Rabbits, run down what people are playing for.
Well, of course, Shaq is in town tomorrow for an evening with Shaquille O'Neal at Margaret Court Arena.
Greenvale.
Yes, for main event on Foxtel and KO Sports. It's sold out, but we have a double pass to give away, valued at $1,000 per ticket, which also includes a meet and greet with the man himself, Shaquille O'Neal, after the show.
So this is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
You're going to have to go. If you win the quiz and you ring up very shortly, you've got to go tomorrow night.
Margaret Court Arena.
You're on like Donkey Kong.
And you'll meet Shaq.
I saw the vision of him walking around Greenvale.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was. You know when you got your newspaper open on your computer and there it was. I thought,
Jeez, LeBron stacked it on.
Oh,
that's the first thing I thought.
Lebo.
I thought it was Lebo. I thought, he's had a decent offseason.
What about Shaq needs security guards?
No, he doesn't.
He's the biggest man alive.
He does need a security
he's
guard.
Huge. So, how about this is money can't buy? 13353. Ring us, but you have to be able to go tomorrow night.
That's it.
It's sold out. An evening with Shaquille O'Neal, a double pass and a meet and greet with the man. Up for grabs. Next.
13353.
Yes, we've said that.
It's just like a big cashy.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Good on you, Shaq.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
That's what stuffs Bill, Nath. He can't understand
Give
what happens.
Give me some strategicness of it.
And now, from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Yes, indeed. The best quiz in town with the best prize in town. An evening with Shaq O'Neal at Margaret Court Arena tomorrow night.
Sold out.
Thanks to the main event on Foxtel and KO Sports.
So is he just up there just shooting the breeze, the big Shaq?
I assume it's a Q&A.
Right.
And he just tells Bloody some... Hell.
The full Rod Laver Arena sold out.
The rubber band.
Margaret Court.
Yeah. Margaret Court, still.
Rubber band story. And
he wouldn't go with a lacquer.
Rover.
I mean, no, he'd be more either. Than a lacquer
yeah,
band.
I don't
and he's very
go
quietly spoken, Jim.
No, he wouldn't steal other people's stories.
I think he would.
He wouldn't sit and listen to...
It's a wonder he hasn't asked me to come on and just do a bit of a warm-up.
Well, you are meeting him.
We are on Sunday. Me and Dave.
You are?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to meet Shaq on Sunday. We're going to play a bit of b-ball.
I don't reckon he'd like listen to Larry Bird and go, I actually quite like that story. I'll have that.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, Hakeem. The Dream. I don't reckon he'd just openly steal other people's stories like you, Bill.
Well, everyone does, Jim.
Oh, do they?
What, you think the wheel just got invented?
Oh, yes. At some stage it did.
Yeah, but everyone's pinched it along the way. Big wheels, little wheels, rubber wheels, wood wheels.
Oh, my God.
Wheels on the bin go round. Right, here we go. We're on the quiz here, Jim, of course,
Hump
Day Quiz.
Let's go then.
And we got one fantastic prize, and we got Callum. Oh, no. Poor Callum.
Hello, mate.
G'day, Callum. You're a Heat fan?
That's it.
Miami Heat, Jim, of course.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Yeah, the Shaq played for, of course.
And you can go if you win, of course, tomorrow night, Cal.
Oh, of course. I wouldn't have called otherwise.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, well done from Callum.
And who would you take?
Oh, it'd be a fight between my brother and my best mate, whose birthday it is this weekend.
Ooh,
where's Cal from? You didn't say.
Cal's from Hallam.
Callum from Hallam.
Callum from Hallam.
What about that, Jim? Can you believe that?
Callum I like it.
From Hallam. And we've got Jules. Jules from Laylaw. G'day, Jules.
Hey, mate. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you? You're a Spurs fan.
I am.
Why?
Because they're black and white like Collingwood.
Oh. Then you're not winning. How did you even get this far? And you get to compete.
Ramsey's given a ticker already. And he loves a Shaq, of course. So here we go, Jim. This is the best prize you've ever seen or heard.
It is. Unbelievable.
On the Rush Hour, Triple M. Rocks football. Here we go. It's a bit of basketball.
He's unhinged.
Here we go.
He's had a bad week.
And we're going up thanks to PointsBet, our very good
you
friends,
are.
Me and Daisy. Boys, Jules, your Jules, and Cal, your Cal.
Yep.
What's Shaq's catch cry for PointsBet? It's
yeah, that's going well.
It's something.
Just the old first question flattener.
Mm.
Good start. Yeah, no, that's good.
This was the right answer. Yeah.
It's shacking easy to bet anytime, anywhere with the PointsBet app.
That's it. Yeah. Shacking easy.
Yeah,
wasn't
so
hard,
that's yep.
So we'll start again.
So oh no,
Shaq played for 6 NBA franchises.
Jules.
Yeah, he played for Orlando. Lakers, Miami, Phoenix, Cleveland, and Boston.
That's the six. We're only after three, Jim.
That's unbelievable.
Well done.
I'll get 2 points then.
Right. No, you don't. You only get one.
Just get the one, Jules.
Yep. Number three.
Yeah, from Laylaw. Yep.
A retired basketballer from...
Wodonga and Albury.
Started playing again earlier this year and is making her return to the national squad.
Lauren Jackson.
Oh, Jules didn't even wait for us to say it was
Jules.
All right, two zip. Cal, are you there?
Yeah, mate.
Come on, Cal, lift.
Come on, Jim, you're going to have to do something
all right,
here.
Don't worry, especially with Jules' alliance with
Which
Collingwood.
Which football player was Andrew Gaze, trying to name in this bit of audio?
Sensational career. Well done, Josh Giddey. Giddey.
Josh Giddey. Yes, Cal?
Josh Giddey.
Yes! Right. 2-1, Jimmy boy.
2-1, starting to get a bit of a ring-a-ding about.
Exactly. How tall is Shaq in feet and inches nearest the pin?
Oh,
well.
Cal.
All right, well, I think I heard Cal first.
Oh. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Jules is filthying up. Yep. Cal?
We'll go 7-2.
All right.
Rule, 7-2.
Jules?
Yeah, 7-2, I was going to say.
Well, you've got to go something different. Now it's nearest the pin, Jules.
That's the answer. 7-2 is the answer.
No, it's, well.
Jules,
no,
go, no, you've got to go with something else.
7-1.
7-1.
Well, it's 7-1.
Oh, beauty.
It's 7-1. It is 7-1.
Beauty.
So that means Jules has won.
Oh, what the hell?
That was nearest the pin. That was in the pin.
That was, Jim. Yeah, that was in the hole.
It was in the hole.
Slam dunk.
Well, so, there you go.
So, Jules.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Oh, that was easy.
You were actually fortunate you got through there, Jules.
Yeah,
doing my best to bloody make sure you didn't.
Margaret Court, tomorrow night, see the Shaq live, an evening with him, thanks to the main event on Foxtel and KO Sports.
All right.
What happened then?
Just stop talking. So, that's coming to you, Jules, and Cal.
Cal.
Yeah, mate.
Are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Well, you drifted out of the quiz there a little bit, but I can tell you.
Seven.
All right, so Jules is going to Shaq tomorrow night. What's Cal getting, please, Bartholomew?
Let's see what else we've got here.
What have you got there in your
We've
cupboard?
Got another double pass for an evening with Shaquille O'Neal and Margaret Corderino.
Oh,
thanks to Main Event on Foxtel and KO Sports.
Cal!
Yeah, mate.
You're both going.
Good work,
Callum.
There you are.
From Hallam.
Go the Pies, mate.
Yeah, go the Pies.
Oh, I say, you're both meeting Shaq, by the way.
We are.
Shut up for a second, you two.
It also includes a meet and greet. So you're meeting the great Shaquille O'Neal after the event as well, boys. So put on your best behaviour.
Will I get to meet Jules?
Actually, you might.
You guys just have a chat. Talk.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Just on air.
Who actually won, Jules?
Julian won.
Well, because he's a Collingwood fan, we're also going to give you a $200 bottle-o voucher,
off,
mate.
Rabs, he doesn't get that.
He does.
Lovely, Ramsey. Thanks, mate.
Bottle-o, thank you. Father's Day.
Bottle-o, it's right. It's your one-stop shop for Father's Day. Gifts, good value booze for good value dads. Visit your local store today.
So $200 and he's going to meet Shaq. That's not bad, Jules.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And a lady with glasses. no.
If it's happening in footy...
Jeepers, have the headlines been coming thick and fast?
This fan will be all over it.
Let's get Jay-Z in and talk footy.
On Triple M's Rush Hour...
He's going to try and get back out there.
It's Jay-Z Clark.
Jay-Z, welcome to you.
Oh. Thank you, Jim.
Every now and then, when we talk about blood on the floor, it's sort of one of those ones where the blood sort of dribbles out, you know, like a puddle that sort of dribbles out further.
Like a slow drip.
Yeah, just sort of, but there's a big puddle of blood and it just of works its way out.
Seeps.
And then there's other examples of where an artery's been hit and blood is spurting everywhere.
Gushing.
That is what appears to be going on at Essendon.
It has been extraordinary. Like, you think of the big stories over the past 10 years, we know Essendon supplement saga, things got been funky at Carlton when Mick Malthouse left and St Kilda's blown up over the journey. But the past week at Tullamarine has been absolutely extraordinary.
It has.
And today has been just about the biggest day of all. I mean, other than Ben Rutten, who was moved on, of course, over the weekend, today the CEO, Xavier Campbell, after 9 years, resigns. And four board members walk out. So we're talking the Vice President, Peter Allen. We're talking Paul Brasher. We're talking Sean Wellman as well. And
Simon Madden.
And Simon Madden as well. So that's four. So the club is effectively napalmed.
Two of those are premiership players.
Greats.
Yep.
Right? Essendon greats. So what's happened here is they've walked out essentially because they had hitched their wagon to the decision to keep Ben Rutten.
Yep.
But when David Barham comes in and says, look, we need a whole heap of change at this football club, well, their position largely becomes untenable. And that's what Xavier Campbell said today in essentially his departure. Four board members go out as well. They're now going to start an external review. And I believe we'll hear some appointments on who will drive that external review bill by the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And that will take a whole encompassing look at this football club. It's coaching, it's culture, it's list management, and we'll work in step with a new coaching selection.
Just finishing on those departing board members.
Yep.
Normally what that says to me, Jay-Z, is that those board members do not support the direction the club's about to head in.
Correct.
And as soon as you're sitting there and saying, I don't support what's about to happen, then the only thing he can do is stand up and walk out, if you're a proper director.
Yep. Which they've done.
Which they've done. So,
good on that's them. To their credit.
Well, of course it is. But it also talks to the interest in what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Because no one can. So you talk about strategy, you know, what does that look like?
Mm. Well, that is essentially what they've got to work out, because until now it's been a dog's breakfast. There has been no unity. There has been the opposite, right? So now Dave Barham's saying, right, we'll get all in new people. We will get on the same page and try and drive a clear direction for this football club, which hasn't won a final since 2004.
Right. Well, are the players on the same page? What's happening there?
Well, there was a fiery response. This is really interesting, Bill, because some say, well, is this hypocritical of the players? Because we have heard over the past couple of months, like a few sort of whispers, the players aren't happy, they're not all on the same page. And then Ben Rutten goes, and then they're up in arms about it. So which way does the playing group want it? And Dyson Heppel, as the captain, stood up for Ben Rutten and spoke to Dave Barham and questioned the club's values and all that sort of stuff. But there's been some reaction like, well, where's all this unity been?
We weren't playing well.
Exactly.
What about Dodoro and Marnie?
So Adrian Dodoro has been ahead of the list since 1998. Now, as we speak, he has the strong support of Kevin Sheedy and Dave Barham.
Right.
So the view of the new look board at the moment is that Adrian's going to lead our preparations into this draft and trade period, and then the external review with independent eyes, I mean, who knows what that's going to reveal.
But makes sense.
Yes.
Of course it does.
Because he is 9/10 of the way in negotiations.
Well, no doubt.
With a lot of their key
targets.
As
Jim said, it's a very important month coming up.
So how do they attack this month without a coach is the interesting thing to me.
Yes.
Because they've already started to march players out the door, Cutler being one of them today.
Yep.
So if you suddenly get an experienced coach to come in,
they're
going to turn around and say, well, what the hell are you doing getting rid of him? I wanted him as well.
Yeah.
And now you've cut him. I mean, this is not the time of year to not have a senior coach.
No, it's shocking timing. It's the advantage North Melbourne's got, because Alistair Clarkson's spoken to the players and he's in step with the list strategy. So this process is going to take, what, a month at least? A month if it's quick. Jeez. To appoint a senior coach. So if that's Adam Uzay, can they twist Ken Hinckley's arm? I'm not sure. Ross Lyon, is he that interested? Doesn't seem it. So they're going to have to go conduct a whole thorough process through a whole big pool of candidates to find. And as you say, they're a bit behind the eight ball now, aren't they? Because, you know, this new coach hasn't spoken to the players and he's at least a month away. So it is going to be interesting. As we understand at the moment, Josh Marnie is a really important person and he's respected in the football club. He has 2 years remaining on a contract. So apparently on Sunday, he made a huge last-ditch bid to keep Ben Rutten.
Right.
So even after the game on Saturday and Ben Rutten's press conference on Saturday night, Josh Marnie went in there and said, how many second-year coaches have all the answers?
And took them to the finals first year.
Exactly. Did Mark Thompson know? Did Simon Goodwin have all the answers? Did they make mistakes? Did Damien Hardwick make mistakes? So he said, look, you know, Ben Rutten's still on a par with these sorts of guys. So anyway, it failed. The president wanted change. They're going to bring in a new coach. Adrian Dodoro is in charge of the list management at the moment. I think they've got an interest in Cam Zerha.
Captain, before we get to Cam Zerha.
Yes. So Dyson Heppel won't be captain next year. But I don't think you could automatically say it's going to be Zach Merritt either.
No.
So
for some reason, it's not Zach.
No.
We all from outside the club think he should be, but
he's their best player.
Yeah.
But he's not necessarily their best leader. Which happens a bit at football clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not necessarily in sync. So he's Sam Draper, the man.
Big Drake.
A lot of respect for Mason Redman.
Redman, yeah.
So I think that's going to be really interesting and someone's going to have to really impress, you know, when they come back to pre-season training to stick their hand up for that leadership position.
You mentioned Cam Zerha. I'm going to talk about him next. Does he stay at North Melbourne? Does he move? Brad Hill, Brody Grundy, there are big names so we need to discuss with you.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Could you bring in an interpreter?
Bill.
Interpreter. Can you bring in someone that can speak his language?
Jay-Z Clark is stuck around. Plenty more footy news to chat.
We're going to do some player movement in a moment, but Dane Zorko, before we get to that.
Yeah, interesting. Max Gorn, the captain of Melbourne, his press conference yesterday, I was there. He said he hopes this is a line in the sand for the game, that there's no more, you know, derogatory slurs about family members. He said he's never heard anything like the comment that was directed from Zorko, Brisbane's captain, to Harrison Petty, the young Melbourne defender. But there's some discontent at Brisbane bubbling away over the last sort of 24 hours because from the Lions' perspective, and I'm not sure anyone's going to come out and say this publicly or put their name to it, but if you get around the back rooms of Brisbane, they are saying that it might have been going both ways.
Right.
On Friday night. There might have been a bit of verbal sort of coming back and forth, and some of that back over the fence might have been pretty intense as well. So you'll note, Billy, that Melbourne didn't want to take it any further.
It was all quickly disposed with.
Yes.
Both sides coming out and saying, we move on.
Went away. Yes. No further investigations,
yes,
please.
It was. That was surprising, actually.
So to be fair to Brisbane, and we don't, you know, what Zorko said was horrific and it shouldn't be said.
Exactly.
But I just think in the heat of the moment, I think history might show, Jim, that there might have been a bit of back and forth between the two sides. But as Gorney said, we're better than that.
Exactly. All right. Mm. Cam Zerha. Well, let's roll through some names.
Yes.
But well, as Clarko spoke, would have sat down and spoke to him, I'm sure.
Yes. And clearly, he is a required player at North Melbourne. But I think the dollars and cents are going to lift. Now, from Cam Zerha's perspective, and we know what a damaging forward he can be. He's tough as a cat's head, it's fair to say. But I think the offer is a little low, Bill.
Come on, Jim.
So... yeah, I think that purse needs to be filled up a little bit for a man. I think he's only 24, so he's still got his best footy ahead of him. Now, as I understand it, Essendon are having a good look. St Kilda have some interest, and this should be sort of stitched up pretty quickly.
Not Perth? Like, he's not a go-home setup?
I think it's more of Victorian a lot of the interest is. So
Horn Francis, Clarko would have spoken to him.
Yeah, so he's locked and loaded. He's going to be there,
there
next year. Yeah, cool. He's staying at North.
Great.
Yeah, good. So he's totally energised and committed to the cause, and I think we will see a big preseason from Jason Horn Francis. Good. But Cam Zerha, I think he's going to need a bit more chutchy so that he will stay. Chuchy. What
well,
is he worth?
Surely they've got a decent room. You would hope they're nowhere near the top of the salary cap.
Who would be getting it? Who would be getting it?
Well, when you're finishing 18th, I'd imagine, Bill, there's lots of room. Brad Hill is someone that's already been spoken about with Al Clarke.
Yes, we touched on him last week. So I think this is one really to watch because Brad Hill isn't as happy as he would like to be at Moorabbin. So from his perspective, you know, he's been thrown around back and forward. Hasn't been settled down on a wing where he's been one of the best over the past 10 years. I think there's been a bit of negative feedback about the salary he accepted. Mm-hmm. But that's on St Kilda, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
If you, when Channel 7 came to you, Jim, and just backed up the truck, what are you to do?
But how happy are they?
Brian's not happy.
No, I'm with you. Yeah. It's not his fault they're paying him what they're paying him.
Exactly. So I think this is a real watch this space. Now, it could be Adam Treloar Mark II here. So Collingwood had to pay $250,000 to get Adam Treloar out and free up some of that salary cap money. So does St Kilda to trade Brad Hill out and free up some salary cap room? Do they have to pay $200,000 or $300,000? He's on about $850,000 a year. North Melbourne, does he fit the list profile perfectly? Like, he's 28 years old. Would they be ideally going someone youngest?
Well, I would say that there's four more at least years in him.
Yep.
Because he's not an impact player. He's an up and back, you know, gut runner.
One of the best in the game.
Yeah, unbelievably good at that. So if you're buying 4 years, then I think you are.
Yep.
Brody Grundy, tell me about him.
Is he heading down the highway?
We mentioned this a few weeks ago, Bill. He's got some options, right? So we know Melbourne is very keen. He sat down and had a coffee with Max Gorn. Max Gorn said, I'll play forward, Brody. You take the ruck for 70% and we can be...
that won't happen.
We can be damaging like Lily and Marsh is a great combination. But the Cats are also interested. And one of the things that have flown...
Grundy and Stanley, Lillian Marsh.
Yeah. And one of the great things that have got flown under the radar is how much salary cap room the Cats have, right? So with Dangerfield, I think, coming back from 850 to 650, there might be more than $1 million of salary cap room.
All their good players are all older and getting less money. Hawk and Selwood... you go through them all.
He's a genius, Wellesley, so and Big Truck Mackie.
And Mackie, and there's a bit of money there. So
he's a cerebral act, though, Brody Grundy, isn't he?
What do you mean?
He's a smart man.
Yes, so.
Yeah, he ain't living in Geelong.
Yes, he is. Everyone wants to go Geelong.
Molly Henry.
Even the spirit of Tasmania's going there.
Yes, that'll be good. But then once you come over across the boat, you then got to drive up to Melbourne, don't you, Bill?
Don't tell them that.
Ollie Henry, what are we doing?
So he's interesting, Bill. So, Jim, so Collingwood's been trying to stitch him up for months. Again, this was another low ball offer. I think Ollie Henry is a good, talented young forward. Of course, his brother plays at Geelong.
Yes.
Jack, both catch it. They have sticky mitts. There's no doubt about that. But from Ollie Henry's perspective, Dan McStay's coming into the forward line. Bobby Hill's coming into the forward line. So if you're Ollie Henry and you've been in and out of the team,
you're thinking, hang on.
Yeah, we're
what about me?
What about me? But yeah, we know Mason Cox is getting older and my chick's not going to play forever. So I think this is more likely to still be done as a recommitment of Collingwood than anything
else. Adam Kingsley, the man with the huge arms, can he turn Hopper and Taranto around?
I think it's more unlikely. I think Tim Taranto is really weighing up his options. I think he's been playing a lot forward at GWS. I think he would like a big lick of the midfield ice cream.
Oh, yes, please.
And at a big club like Richmond or Collingwood or Geelong, Hopper, there is a sizable opportunity. Hopper's the same. Ballarat product. The Cats, Wellesley's liked him for years.
Yes.
So with sort of Dangerfield getting older, Selwood getting older, they get in a nice big batarang. But he's contracted for one more year, Bill. So there's got to be a trade.
I don't give a
sucked in,
Bill. Look at him. Yeah. Down the highway.
So Atkins out. And
No, keep everyone. No.
You're one of those rare clubs that never has to lose anyone.
Carl Amon at Port Adelaide.
Yes.
So Port Adelaide at this stage, happy to let him walk, is a free agent. So getting $650 at Hawthorn, that's good money.
Good coin.
Yeah, provide some run in a midfield that's
beautiful.
Got some older players with Jay Gromier and Tommy Mitchell, Chad Wingard, etc. So Port Adelaide are happy to do that and are still eyeing Josh Dunkley. So Josh Dunkley's talks with the Bulldogs are still dragging on.
Well, he hasn't signed yet, so that means something.
And you speak to the people at the kennel and they still think, no, it's all good, just taking some time, we're happy to keep him. But
Port
Adelaide,
have to leave Treloar. That's the big question. Yeah. How does he leave him?
Because they're tight, aren't they?
Tight. Wow.
Isaac Rankin, we said this a few weeks ago, he's going to Adelaide. Gold Coast will want their first pick, which is pick 5, and their second pick, which is pick 23.
Are you parting with pick 5 for him?
Ooh. Well, he was pick 3.
I know, but we've got a body of work to assess now, Jay-Z. Wow. You're parting with pick 5 for Isaac Rankin.
He's a very talented player, Jim.
Oh, Marcus, God, you want to be delivering.
You're the better judge.
Who goes number one? Marcus Ashcroft's boy.
Yes.
But then who's two? Who's North Melbourne get?
Now, this is the thing. The recruiters, when we've been speaking to them, they're saying this is an even bunch, and you got to throw a blanket over them. So they said get back to us in a couple of weeks. They're still walking. I think there's going to be a bit of movement in terms of the trading at the top end. And Gold Coast, if they get pick 5 and pick 7, they could come with a rush in the trade period with 2 first picks as well. So they want a running half back. And they could be doing some trading because Stuart Dew wants to play finals next year.
You hear it first from now, man.
He's told us about Grundy a month ago.
Thanks, Bill. And Rankin.
And Rankin.
Hear it first from Jay-Z. Thanks. Well done, mate.
Good on you, boys.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Tribunal news.
Oh, no.
Tribunal.
No, have a third go at it.
Tribunal.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour. All thanks to our mates at Chemist Warehouse. It is the real house of fragrance. This Father's Day, boys, get your VB for Men grooming kit today. We've all got one for just $59.99 from Chemist Warehouse.
And well, you did the bath bomb.
I did. I ran a bath last night. I got the bath bomb out, and it's a little VB, green VB.
Yep.
You drop it in the water, and it's fizzes, like a Disprin, Jim. When you put a Disprin in your water, that's exactly what it does. Right. So it all fizzes. The water turns greenish.
Yes.
And I just laid back and had a great time.
Did
beautiful
you?
It was. Oh, bounced out of the bath, Jim.
Did you just?
A big fella Shazam me trying to get out of the bath, Jim.
I was say, that would have been what I'd like to
But let me tell you, magnificent that. That was
not
the
only
bath
the bath
bomb.
Frothy, but you've also got the scented candle, body wash, exfoliating scrub, the moisturizer. No, it is a bloody good thing, actually. And beautifully presented.
Exfoliating. What do you do there?
Get rid of all the dead skin off your.
Exfoliate.
On your bum and that.
Well, I wouldn't go anywhere near your bum, but certainly your arms and legs. And
so you put
like
on that mask thing and wipe yourself? No, just with your hands.
The less you say about it, the better.
Anyway,
people were very happy with it until Bill started talking.
Oh, yes. Jim, you got all the fragrances. Whatever you want. Yeah. And Father's Day coming up. What? And that's only $60 there.
No, it's brilliant. And as I say, beautifully VB packaged as well. So get that for Dad.
Exactly.
And their fragrance sale, the Father's Day fragrance sale, ends Sunday the 4th of September. So make sure you get in quick.
And they are cheaper.
Wares. Absolutely.
So you can go in somewhere else, other big department stores,
don't,
Jim.
Bill.
No. And check, place. Just check, right? So that Ralph Lauren fragrance there
Which
is
one?
So much.
Polo.
Polo.
Yeah.
And then you go down here to Chemist Warehouse. I guarantee it's cheaper, Jim.
Always.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I've done it.
All right.
I think there's 520 stores nationwide. You shop in store online.
You might even
delivery.
See Mario.
Yes. Super Mario.
That's it.
Oh, he is a champ.
Exactly.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
We must have better radio. Pete Dixon, not too far away, filmmaker extraordinaire in his own right, as was his brother Rob Dixon, who played with the Hawks and passed away, sadly, a car accident in South Africa. But I read here Ben Crowe, who's a good friend of mine and a very good man, helped Ash Barty and recently in a mentor and mindset.
Exactly. He was at Richmond.
Yeah, amazing man, Benny Crowe. Yep. And he said about these two brothers, their love for storytelling and helping others was outshone only by their love for each other. Terrific story is Peter Dixon, and his book about Rob is amazing. He's coming up in, what, Rebs, about 40 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yep.
So looking forward to chatting to Peter Dixon.
Did you see the lawyer who Nick Kyrgios accused of having 700 drinks during Wimbledon? She's suing the tennis star.
Wow.
Defamation.
How's that going to go? Defamation.
She's a lawyer, Jim.
Right.
And I think he said she had 700 drinks, which I don't think so. We've got some audio here, if you don't mind.
Come on.
Distracting me when I'm serving in a Wimbledon final. Well, there's no other bigger occasions. You didn't believe me, and then she did it again, and it nearly cost me the game. Yeah, okay, but why is she still here? Because she's drunk out of her mind in the first row, speaking to me in the middle of the game. What's acceptable?
Nothing is acceptable.
Okay, so kick her out.
I don't know which one it is.
I know exactly which one it is.
Tell me.
It's the one in the dress with the one that looks like she's had about 700 drinks, bro.
700.
So he didn't actually identify her, really, did he? He just said the one with the, anyway.
Yeah. And our man, Stormzy.
Oh, Stormzy.
Yeah.
Bronze.
Has been in the news.
What's Stormzy up to?
Well, he's a big fan of Man U, Rabsy.
Yeah, he's from Manchester.
Exactly. And he was... just asked something and we got this to play.
Bronze. He just asked something.
He was asked about Ronaldo leaving, right? Man U.
Yes.
And he answered, let the goats be goats. So no.
Bronze.
No one knows what that means.
That's a bit of bronze from our man Stormzy.
Let the goats be goats. Come on, hey, big awards night tonight for the AFL.
We put that in so we could just play.
Just play bronze.
Bronze.
Well, we had
bronze.
Some audio available. I think there's something else in the system there, Rabs, you could have found. Yeah, big awards night tonight. The All-Australian, Jimmy Boy.
Yes.
Hearing anything there?
No.
Oh. Should they play? Should the wingers play wing?
Well,
or
this
do you
is,
play someone like...
This, Bill, it causes more conjecture, this particular team, than anything else for the year.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't blame, like Duke doesn't do it anymore. I don't blame him. I used to give him myself the greatest pasty of all time.
Yep.
And everyone else does the same at Clubland because you all think your bloke should be in.
Yep.
But yes is my answer. Right. If you're a proper wingman, there should be two spots for you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. NAB rising star, Nick Dacos.
Has to be.
Ronnie Lerner said that. He told us that, Jim.
The Bogan.
But you got Sam De Koning.
No, it'll be Nick Dacos.
Newcomb, Ginnivan. Yep. Also the AFLPA, the Players Association Award tonight.
MVP, that's wrapped up in tonight. It is a
that's
big award.
That's a big night for him.
Well, you're voted by your peers.
Yes.
And that is almost the best award.
Exactly. And the AFLW tomorrow night kicks off.
Yes.
Can you believe it? They're playing two seasons in one, Jim. Mm-hmm. Carlton Collingwood at Icon Park. That'll be a big, big game.
Yep.
And I'm just reading here, Nat Fyfe is cherry ripe to go.
Ooh, good.
Of course, he played last week. He's got a week off, so he's cherry ripe.
Good.
And
Who wins that game? Fremantle.
At home.
Richmond. Fremantle. Dogs.
Dogs.
You reckon they...
Well, you never count out the Dogs. They just win it from anywhere, as
they
we
do.
Know.
They do.
But over there, they've been good. You know what will count? If it rains over in Fremantle, which it has for the last 3 months. So Nat Fyfe, cherry ripe, and Jeremy Cameron, Mars Bar. He's ready to go, Jim.
Oh, wow. That's a risk.
I was going to say Violet Crumble. I thought, oh, the Hammy might do that.
So 100% plays, no question him playing.
Well, he's feeling good, Jim. He's doing everything that he has to.
Has he had the required time off? 3 weeks?
We don't know if it's tightness or a little strain. Oh, the other thing, Tom Hawkins saying that he actually had the jumper underneath.
Oh, really?
He had the top over the top.
Why didn't he just take it off and give it to someone?
Well, he ran over to see Paddy Dangerfield's wife, Marty, and Paddy Dangerfield's mum and dad to say g'day and well done and all the best, and got caught up in it all, he said.
And speaking of getting caught up in things, well done to Jack Saunders, who debuted for Hawthorn on the weekend. That's Steve Saunders' young bloke, who's the physio now down at Geelong.
Geelong,
he was at North for years.
The superstar.
And when I played for South Australia, he was our physio for nearly the whole time I was there.
Wow.
He is the best manipulative physiotherapist in the Caper by a mile.
Cats
and he's
loving.
Now, oh no, he's the best. So, and a ripping bloke too. So for Steve and Tam, their young bloke Jack debuted for Hawthorn on the weekend. Kicked a snag,
did
set
he?
Another one up.
Yeah, his nickname.
So well done, Jackie boy.
Colonel, his nickname. Colonel Saunders. With that.
Can you believe it? Getting some vision of our man next.
I can believe it. Yes.
On the basketball court.
Melbourne United.
Where he made a bigger idiot of himself than he did just then.
Brand new recruit popped in to teach Bill some skills. Probably didn't go that well.
No.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Hey, Jimmy boy, plenty of sport. I've got different all sorts of sport. Thanks to our good friends.
What was that?
Our man Bill on Sunday is meeting the great Shaquille O'Neal, and he knows nothing about basketball.
Not only does he know nothing about it, he knows nothing about playing it.
Mm-hmm.
As we found out today, because new signing for Melbourne United, Ray John Tucker.
A superstar.
Played with the Bucks in the NBA.
Mate, 24, good boy, nicknamed Tux. And they reckon, we saw him slam dunk a couple. And
he dunked over Bill.
He did.
Well, that wouldn't have been hard.
No.
You would have just been like a statue.
No run up. Just,
he was a superstar. I heard he was good, Jim. Right, I heard he was all right. So I asked him, Ray John, how good are you?
Well, they tell me you're very, very good.
I mean, if that's what they tell you, then that must be the truth.
So Bill asked the question, then asked it again.
Yeah, he did. Mm. Yeah.
Righto. So then?
Then Bill asked.
Mm-mm.
What was the next bit I forgot?
So as part of the thing Bill's got to do on Sunday, he may have a shooting contest against Shaq.
Oh, no.
Bill doesn't know how to shoot the basketball.
No, he does not.
That's right.
So our man Tux was trying to teach Bill
help him
how to shoot the basketball.
That's it.
So I've got to go high, I've got to get behind it, and it's all in the wrist.
Yeah, it's all in the wrist.
No, that's shit, Bill.
Airball.
So you missed the lot.
Well, I'm not a great shooter.
No, you're not a great basketballer, full stop.
I'm a bit like Shaq.
We are putting vision of this up, by the way.
Yes, it'll be up tomorrow. Ethan's putting it together.
You know how blokes just get the ball and they bounce between their legs.
And just
they
know how to do
and
stuff.
And they throw and it looks good. I can't do that.
No, you can't do anything, Bill.
Like football, cricket, tennis.
No, cricket, no. Tennis, no. Golf,
jewelry,
no. You're no good at any of those.
I beat Nick Bradford 6-4.
And you weren't great at football either, by
Bradford.
The way. What about
this gun tennis player and I beat him 6-4. Oh, just come to the net.
What about the vision I saw of him trying to groove with Ray John?
So he gave him the old, it's all in the hips from Chubbs Peterson. And trying to teach Bill how to bounce the basketball.
One bloke looked unbelievably cool. Yeah,
which he is.
And the other one looked like Bill. A fat attempt at groove.
White snowman.
It was horrible.
I was terrible. So I can't move, Jim.
No, you can't.
Rhythm.
No, you haven't.
A few beers, but.
We'll have more audio tomorrow and the vision will be up. And the 3-point shooting, you have to see it to believe it.
Hey, but well done to Ray John. He is a bloody star and he's going to be a great player this year with United.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Where are your Buccaneers?
On his Buccanehead.
Right now, we're joined by award-winning filmmaker and now author, Peter Dixon.
I love this man, Bill. Some of the stuff he's done around the cricket space with a couple of documentary series is absolutely magnificent. Going to get to that a little later on, but he's released a book. He was my brother. And this is Pete Dixon talking about Rob Dixon. Welcome to you, Pete.
Thank you, JB. Thank you, Billy.
Good on you, Pete.
I think off the top, though, calling me an author is probably a bit rich. I think you got to deserve to be called an author more than one off the bat, don't you?
No, I don't know. I wrote one. Bill's written one, and he's written one more than he's ever read.
That's right. Have you actually read it?
Read my book?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have read
good.
My book.
Because I didn't read mine. There was a few mistakes.
it was a joke book. So congratulations on this. Your brother, Rob Dixon, is an amazing story. Was it a tough one for you to tell, given what happened to him in South Africa?
Yeah, it was. I was planning on doing a documentary for many years, and I think last time I spoke to you, I talked about that. But I couldn't face it because I couldn't see myself talking and getting through it on camera. So it got to a point where the book was the only thing I wanted to do. And I didn't even have that in my mind, to be honest. I just wanted to write how I felt because I had a long period of struggle following his death. So there was a lot of grief and a lot of manic behaviour
yep.
by me, which comes on the back of Rob's filmmaking career where, and Billy will know this well, in the footy space,
yep.
he was a leader and a pioneer. So I tried to follow that on and compare myself to him in a way and went manic JB for 10 years.
10 years.
And I just pumped out documentary after documentary, but it was all a way of just suppressing what was underneath. So when it got to a point of I had a breakdown, which, sorry to get too heavy too early, but and that was actually during the Forging Fire documentary.
Yeah, right.
Because it all caught up with me and the grief that was sort of suppressed underneath came to the surface and I sort of then only really started getting help. And once I've cleared that and got through a bit of that, I was able to write the book.
And did it feel great doing it or was it tough the whole way through?
No, it was amazing. Like I dedicated a period of time to do it thinking, oh, this could take, I don't know how to write a book. So I thought it might take 10 months, 12 months. It took 10 weeks.
10 weeks?
Yeah. I pumped it out, Billy. Wow. Like I just sat there and all day, every day. And then I got to the point where I just, because I think it was all in there and it just flooded out.
Just all.
And then I said, I've done. And I thought, what am I going to do with it now? I've got this manuscript and it was all over the shop. Like it wasn't, so I had some great people help guide me through sort of structure and so forth. I know how to structure a film, the book's a different story. Mm. And then I thought, okay, that's done. This will be good for the family as a sort of a family mentor. And then it got picked up by a publisher. So here we are.
Rob Dixon, by the way, played for Hawthorn. Yes. For those who might be asking out there, absolutely. Played for the Hawks, 17 games, 2 for Brisbane Bears, then got into the Dockers and made some really, really good, that the AFL took on board. There's one with Shane Crawford, which was fantastic. The essence of the game was commissioned by the AFL to celebrate the 150th anniversary. That was fantastic. So,
also one Survivor.
And one Survivor, which really put him on the map, didn't it? Mm-hmm. It really did. So, and unfortunately died in a car accident in South Africa, hence the book here, He Was My Brother, by Peter. But he was I remember him. He was a ball of fun. He was a bit of a, I thought he was a larrikin, but I read very strict family growing up and things like that. I didn't know Mum was very strict.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of Bible work going on at our house. Yeah.
But good looking.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he was a rooster.
He was a rooster. That's the word. Yeah. He was a rooster.
Yeah, yeah. Just driving
and
nuts.
Just fun. Just fun, wasn't he? And you were very close, obviously. You two were, you're more than brothers.
Yeah. He was almost, I've written in there, he was almost everything to me, really, because he was like a father to me and he was 5 years older, my hero, my work partner. So when he did die and his two boys, unfortunately, as well, I sort of felt at that moment, even though with a family, that I'd lost everything.
Yeah.
And so it's a hard one to deal with. And I think part of the book is a lot of it's is fun and it's, well, I'm told this because you don't want to flog your own book, but I'm told that it is a really good fun read and it tells what he's like as a character, but it also helps those who have had loss just work out how probably not to do it, because I explain how I did it, which is clearly not the way to do it. So I'm hoping it helps a little bit in that front.
But, Pete, as you know, I lost my own sister tragically. Yep. I don't think there is a right way. No. Everyone deals with it differently. You know, I have, as you would have, I have people come up to me who've lost family members and say, you know, have you got any advice? What do you think? And I always say the same thing, and that is there's no way to give advice. It's something that you just have to deal with personally, speak to as many people as you can, speak to your family members. You know, I had two brothers and a mum and dad who survived Sal, so, you know, we all talk to each other as much as we can. But I think we're kidding ourselves, aren't we, if we think that there is a correct way to
absolutely
to yeah, deal with
you,
it.
You did well if you spoke to people. I didn't even speak to people. Okay. I didn't engage with anyone really, other than my direct family. I sort of went into a hiding, which is sort of a bit of who I am. I'm a bit of a, I'm not, Rob was an extrovert.
That's right. He led the way and you followed.
I was like the bass player if he was a lead singer type thing. And he drew that out of me, that sort of extrovert. So I'm more comfortable in the center of that.
Yep.
So, yeah, I sort of retreated a little bit and just buried myself in, as Gil calls it, you know, an editing cave.
A mountain of work.
And just, blew budgets.
Well, mate, he was an incredible figure. I remember the impact it had on our great mate Shane Crawford.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we were doing the footy show with Crawford when it happened, and
He was devastated, as thousands of people were. But I have seen quite a bit of your recent work. Two Nations, One Obsession, Bill. If you haven't seen it, you must.
What's Australia?
About the Australia-India cricket rivalry, which is the great modern rivalry in cricket. Everyone talks about the Ashes, which is obviously extraordinary. But this thing has suddenly become a juggernaut. And then, of course, forged in fire. Well, I was privileged to be at the launch of it. I think it was up in Brisbane from memory. The first one about the 74-5 Ashes series with Ian Chappell and Tom Owen, Lily and all the rest of it. And that was absolutely brilliant. Tell me how you were drawn to cricket.
Grew up loving it. I could play a bit, so I was sort of in, picked through all the representative teams. I'll talk about it in the book, but I also wanted to play footy. But anyway, I got through the ranks and just loved cricket, just loved the stories. And when we got into the filmmaking area and I was telling Rob, we've got to do something on cricket, and he hated cricket. So it was always pushed to the back. And so it was funny, because so when I got the chance to work with Cricket Australia and make the films, I was almost a breakaway from Rob in a sense. That was an enormous undertaking. There was 3 feature hours of national TV. I had a really small amount of, not really small, but, you know, a short amount of period to do it. So trying to get players from both countries on board with all the politics that goes around was a nightmare. And most of them hate Cricket Australia, as you know. The past players, especially.
They do, absolutely.
I've written about 2 pages about Tomo in the book too. It was one of the great days of my life with Tomo.
He's as funny a bastard as you will ever meet.
And
Jeff
doesn't try and be.
No intention of being funny.
No, that's right.
Started off, I've never had more abuse. But then it sort of turned. But he was, as a kid growing up, treating these people like heroes, it was unbelievable to spend time with them. When I went to England, they were amazing. They sort of embraced me, and that, I don't know about you, JB, but I felt the English players have less ego in a sense, or less care about being out in the public and mingling and stuff than the Australians. I'm not sure if that's true.
No, I reckon it's true, because cricket, even though it's a big game in England, it isn't the big game.
Yeah.
You know, there's soccer, you know, whereas here, especially if you played for Australia in the 70s, they were superheroes.
That's right. And like, you can walk out at Lords or the Royal Danubius, as we used to call it. And you can see them. They're just walking around. Yep. And so I picked up a lot of interviews like that. But yeah, that was an incredible story.
So Tomo, I don't know if you've seen it, Bill, but if you haven't, you must. It's just so good. Especially the first one about that famous 74-5 series.
Right.
And Tomo's sitting there, and I'm going to get it wrong, but one of the first things he says in the documentary is, "My family are from Scotland, so we hated the f*** anyway." You're watching.
Yeah.
It's one of the first things that was brilliantly done by you to put it up the front.
Because
you're sitting there, the whole room, thinking, what sort of a show are we going to see here? Suddenly Tomo dropped that, and everyone just roared with laughter, and it set it up, the whole tone.
Well, it was F-bomb city. And editing, I thought, well, how am I going to do this? And you can't edit it out.
No.
He has to stay like that. So what happened is it sort of spread like wildfire. Every other player, I showed him a little, you know, like when I had done docos with you, I'd show you a little bit of what other people have done. I showed them Tomo. They're going, "Oh, are you allowed to speak like that?" And I said, so they all went for it, right? Yeah. And so it's fruity, you know.
Yep, it is.
It's a bit. I got some abuse from parents and stuff. But Cricket Australia, to their credit, let it go through. I thought they wouldn't. So when I first showed them the draft, I was,
So last one for me on these two, because I love them. We talk about Australia being slightly different to England, their players. India's a whole new level.
Oh, yeah.
Those boys over there are a lot like Virat Kohli, MS Dhoni. It is, you have to have gone there, which you now have, to understand the level that they're at.
Yep. I, as a documentary maker from Australia coming over to speak to these people, was treated like a king.
Yes.
It was ridiculous. So where we were staying, and we were in Mumbai, and the players, they were hard to get. I mean, there's a lot of this one, how much coin?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so that was tough. But people like Ravi Shastri and those guys were just, he's gold.
Ravi.
But every time we had an interview set up somewhere or wherever we went, they just had hundreds and hundreds of people around them, and I don't know how they live like that,
no,
JB.
I don't.
I mean, and all the staff stopped work, you know, in the in the hotel, and they're trying to sign, but they don't engage. They just swim straight through. Amazing time in India, and I couldn't get out of there quick enough. Where
no, no, you're not living there.
Came in it. And no. Winx, I see.
Yeah.
Winx 4.
Did two docos on Winx, yeah.
Do you love horse racing?
Not really.
But Winx,
I'm the worst punter in the history of punting.
We all are. Don't worry about that. And then, of course, the final draw, Collingwood and St Kilda. The St Kilda boys would love to see that again.
The last one was probably the ripple effect, which I think we spoke about last year. That was on Indigenous mental health. That was with Nathan Lovett Murray.
Yep.
And I've just finished the Paul Deer documentary.
Oh. Wow.
So
that would have been tough.
Yeah. I feel like I've been in grief sort of for about 4 or 5 months here with this book and this. But that's coming out in a couple of weeks, which is all credit to Cherie Deer and the family for the access. And, I had a lot of time with Paul before he passed, obviously. But that's an amazing story of resilience and battling.
Well, you're drawn to this subject amazingly, probably because of the quality of person you are, because, of course, when Spud passed, the amazing vision of Anita and the girls talking, which I didn't realise till later was done by yourself. It didn't surprise me because it was done beautifully. Oof. But these are hard things, and as we all get older, we have to deal with it more and more.
I don't chase it. I honestly don't chase it. But, yes, I do fall into them, and I'm not sure why, but... I do know why. There's an empathy there that I think they know I understand because I've been through it, and I think that's important. But you still got to tell it properly, and you still got to do it and make do it justice for them. So I'm keen for people to see the Paul Deer one.
Yeah, good.
Mm. What's it called?
Dare to Hope.
Dare to Hope. There it is, the book, Tim.
He Was My Brother is the book. This is a story from Pete about his brother Rob, but also about the two of you growing up and your story all the way through, and there's lots of fun attached to it. So make sure you jump on that, get a copy of He Was My Brother online or at good bookstores, as you heard from Rabs earlier. Pete, always a pleasure.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, JB. Thanks, Billy.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. No. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
We've had a special guest watching the whole show unfold today.
I saw him out there.
Joseph joins us. Welcome to you, Joseph.
Thanks, James. Lovely to be here.
Now, you were the winner at a charity event to come in. Have you been disappointed or have you been happy with the quality of the show?
I'm a big-time fan. Any chance to get up close and personal, it's been very exciting. Every minute.
So, Joseph, let me say to you this. End of every show, Bill does a joke.
Yep.
They're very, very poor as a rule. We've got two songs. If it's bad enough, they get woolly bullied. Mm-hmm. And if they're just bad, they get Ça Pla Pour Moi by Plastic Bertrand.
Yeah. So no pressure.
No pressure. But today you are the judge. If you go thumbs up, Rabs hits Plastic. Yes. If you go thumbs down, he hits Woolly Bully.
Nice.
If you go thumbs down, you'll cop one in the guts too.
All right, here we go.
End the day with a laugh.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
Joseph, I went out to a restaurant the other night and the waiter come up and he said, "How would you like your steak cooked?" I said, "Like winning an argument with my wife." The waiter said, "Rare it is."
That's it?
That's it.
Joseph. I would pay that. I've been married a long time. I know how this works. Yes. Rare it is. I
cannot believe.
Joseph, just put your thumbs up. Yes!
Oh, my God.
Triple M's Rush Hour. Get your VB for Men grooming kit today for just $59.99 from Chemist Warehouse. The male grooming range that's made with beer. Go on, you've earned it.